Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place, called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. You see, the word Armageddon is a word that is derived from the Old Testament Hebrew location of Megiddo. And Megiddo means rendezvous. Now, when I think about meeting places, rendezvous, locations of past, present, and future judgment, and even relationship concerning God, we have to go back to the original rendezvous, the meeting place of the Almighty God in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. For he had created man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man had become a living soul. And then, of course, he created woman out of the side of Adam and created for him a helpmeet. And then the scripture says that in the cool of the evening, the Lord would come to a place of fellowship with Adam and Eve. Oh, can you imagine the splendor of that glorious moment and peaceful setting, the environment that had no sin, when the Almighty God would come and make contact on a daily basis with his creation? What wondrous conversations there must have been. What songs of birds in distant treetops must have filled the atmosphere with joy. Animals peaceful without any signs of rabid behavior in this serene atmosphere skittered about here and there as the Lord himself had long discussions with his creation at the meeting place, in a place of perfection, in a place that didn't know perversion, in a place that had no promotion of rebellion, in a place that had not been tainted by transgression or ruined by temptation, a place where God could minister and even be ministered to, and the fact that his loneliness had been remedied by this great fellowship with his greatest creation. And yet, things would change. That day when Eve would step beneath the arched branches that led toward the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the one tree in the midst of the garden that they were forbidden to eat of, the one tree that was a place to be resisted, a location never to even go. And yet, in a moment of curiosity, Eve left behind conviction. And this is a timeless and troubling situation. Something that goes on and on in our generation. Something that the people of this world are constantly having trouble with. In a taste-oriented society that wants no truth. In a generation of simple desires, yet they want no doctrines. We want blessings, but don't give us any boundaries. We want to reap benefits, but we don't want any restrictions. Don't give us needless doctrinal rules and regulations. Let us discover the mercy of God, yet have no accountability to that God. Let us enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and then be given a nod and a permissive pass, as if it never even happened. Then why would a lamb have been slain from the foundation of the world? What need would there be for an old rugged cross? And yet we live in a generation where there's little conviction and little commitment. People that experiment with new ideas. People that find a new meeting place. A meeting place that doesn't require prayer. A meeting place that doesn't have restrictions with scriptural principles and obedience. to divine laws and ideas, a meeting place where one can hide out with hatred in their heart, where one can hold prejudice in their spirit, where one can live a permissive lifestyle and never know the true seed of the Word of God to bloom and grow in their lives. They settle for these meeting places, just as Eve on that particular day when she would be interviewed and investigated by the serpent, the most subtle beast of the field. A meeting place now that was absent of command and was full of questions, because isn't that what this generation is known for? Critical thinking. And my friend, there's nothing wrong with critical thinking until the secular interferes with the spiritual. For we know that the book of Romans teaches us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. That word means hostility. So there are mindsets, philosophies, ideas and creeds and even theologies that are hostile to holiness. They despise doctrines. They erase lines. They move and remove landmarks. They redefine and reinterpret scripture to justify sin rather than to judge iniquity and transgression and rebellion. It's like what we read in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The word rage in verse number 1 means tumultuous. Are we not living in a tumultuous society where temptation takes the place of truth more and more, where treachery is given the headlines while truth takes the back page, while people love darkness rather than light, reprobates and apostate pundits who cannot tell the difference between right and wrong until evil is given the stage and righteousness is shoved into the corner, veiled, killed, and even imprisoned. And then the scripture says they imagine a vain thing. They give their imaginations to things that will give them liberties and pursuit of what they think is happiness. And how often I've seen through the years people walk away from the doctrines of the church thinking that the opportunities in the world were more optimistic than having obedience to the Word of God, thinking that the experimentations that they could do in the world, in the laboratories of sin, would reap for them more benefits than the walk in the ways of God, in the narrow ways of righteousness, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How often do we think that people have the liberty to go drink what they want to drink, and then when they get steeped in alcoholism, they wish they'd have never chosen something that would cause them to be so incontinent and so lascivious, unable to control themselves, having ruined and wrecked their lives and been steered off into a direction, into jungles and wildernesses of sin, to which there seems to be no return. And yet they want these freedoms. They want these liberties. They have that prodigal spirit that ends up in the pig pen. And when they're slopping around in the sin, they finally realize that the affections of the Church of the Living God were sure a whole lot better than the addictions of the world. And they wish they'd have stayed in a church where people know how to pray and stayed in an atmosphere where the worship of God could be felt. But in a moment of offense or in an hour of temptation or in a time of suffering and struggle, they thought that maybe the world had something to offer them that was better than the church. It's like the children of Israel when they were at moments of struggle and thirst and hunger in the wilderness, they would begin to complain against the leadership of Moses, and they'd begin to say things like they had it better back in Egypt when they were eating the onions and the garlic, as if being in slavery and being whipped daily by taskmasters was better than the journey of freedom. But because there was a moment of struggle, they let that struggle reinterpret where they were headed to be worse than where they had come from. And that's exactly what the devil is deceiving so many with in this hour. Forget the fellowship with God in the cool of the evening. Forget what you felt in the altar the first time you prayed and the glory of God came on you and the fire of the Holy Ghost burned in your spirit and you were delivered. When you were baptized in the name of Jesus, when you came out of that water speaking in a heavenly language. Forget that meeting place where you've gone to prayer meetings and to great apostolic revival services and been touched by the hand of God, as if those things are discounted in your memory, as this, those things no longer have credibility, and the cross is broken in half, no longer a stake of salvation in your memory, as if the ways of the world could be better, as if the devil could offer you the sensational to be so much better than the spiritual things that God has given you. And yet it happens every day. It's exactly what Eve did when Eve took her first bite and the juice of that forbidden fruit ran down the corners of her mouth and dripped stains of sin forever to be dealt with. And that would require a rendezvous with judgment at an old rugged cross where a Lamb of God would have to become the propitiation for our sins, our substitute sacrifice, all because Eve found a new meeting place. Folks find the grounds of permissiveness. They find the real estate of rebellion. They find the locations of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and they set up their residency. It reminds me of what Jesus said in the New Testament when he told his disciples that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a man that digs deep, and he founds his house upon a rock. So that when the flood waters rise and when the storm winds beat vehemently against that house is going to stand because it's anchored on the rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is like a man that builds his house upon the sand. Oh, when the weather is good and the sun is shining, and in that dry season when there's barely a trickle of water in the dry creek beds, it seems like the perfect location to build a house, to have freedoms to do what you want to do, to live like you want to live. But when the storm clouds begin to roll in, and those ebullient formations of thunderheads, the sickening of the horizon, and the torrential rains that begin to pour, and all of a sudden the flash floods begin to form in those dry creek beds in the mountains and rush down to the valleys, and all of a sudden that house that is not built upon the rock, is not built upon a safe and secure location, is swept away. It's got no foundation. There's no root in it. It's not planted in truth. It has been whipped around by the sensational and founded upon something that is like quicksands. And so often in this generation, people are doing the same thing. And so they're like the kings of the earth that say, let us break their bands asunder. They want to tear off the restrictions. They want to tear off the rules and the regulations. They want to tear off the necessary boundaries, as if every boundary is just such a terrible thing. I don't want a preacher telling me what to do. I don't want to be told that I can't go to certain places and that I shouldn't partake of certain substances. I don't want somebody dictating to me doctrines, and all of a sudden the role of the shepherd is translated into the role of a dictator just because the man of God doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to go down a destructive path or a dead end that's going to end up in regret, wreckage, and ruin. See, the Bible says in verse 2 of Psalm 2 that they take counsel together. That means they find something that they can agree on. There's some things that are set. They sit down together. They settle the issues. They consult with one another. And all of that sounds good, as if there is strength in numbers and we're going to be stronger together. But my friend, when the strength is built on a foundation of sin, these are the quicksands of a reality that's headed toward a destruction. This all may sound good in the days of peace and safety, but when sudden destruction cometh, when the hurricanes of hell begin to blow in, the tsunamis of sin begin to hit the shores, then there's only ruin because there's no root. There's only destruction because there's been no true decisive doctrines for a man or woman to build their life on. And yet they found many, many others to give them a new set of instructions, to give them a new map, to treasures of the world to be found, only to end up where the X marks the spot and find out that there's emptiness and loneliness and regret and ruin and abandonment and desert conditions and regions of hopelessness. Because, my friend, the only hope a man can find is in the cross of Jesus Christ. The best meeting place that you could ever come to is the meeting place of the Lord Jesus Christ is the rendezvous of an old rugged cross, to come to a place where his blood was shed, to come to a place where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, to come to a place where he suffered so many hours, carrying upon his own back the healing stripes of every generation, of every sickness and disease, knowing that captives that were bound by bruising mentalities and emotions of this world, by depression and anxiety and panic attacks, by verbal and physical and sexual abuse, they could be set free. They could have their bruises taken away over a course of time in a relationship with this Savior. Oh, that's the meeting place you want to go to. Don't sit down with the rulers of the world. Don't take counsel with the scoffers and the cynics who no longer love the Word of God, but they challenge every scripture. Every verse has become adverse to them. Every scripture has become a fairy tale to them, until they begin to shake their fingers of intellect in the face of God as if he doesn't exist, claiming in atheistic terms that there is no God, and yet only the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Wake up, my friend. Come back to the meeting place of mercy. Come back to a rendezvous with a Redeemer. Come back to the location where the love of God can be found, because the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to receive the promise. He wants you to live in prosperity of grace, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. He wants you to leave the past behind and not be bound in the prisons of guilt and shame. Don't become a perishable like an old soup can where the contents have been used up, and the devil comes along to just kick you into the trash heap or the junkyards where you're useless and there's nothing left, because that's what the world will leave. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is death and destruction. Oh, my friend, find the meeting place of mercy. Come to a rendezvous where there can be rejoicing, rejoicing in the Lord, where there's joy unspeakable and full of glory, where there is a peace that passes all understanding. You see, my friend, anywhere you want to go, you can find somebody to support a sinful lifestyle, somebody to support an alternative lifestyle and make it sound like it's okay with God, twist the scriptures, pervert the text, come up with Lucifer-inspired theologies, come up with yea, hath God said dialogues, new interpretations that redefine the instructions of the Word of God to mean something to be more permissive. Oh, let's don't be judgmental. They take their counsel together. They come to their meeting places and their gatherings, and they come up with new covenants and create new creeds and find a place of agreement, not in the presence of the Lord, but in something that has become a substitute for the presence of the Lord. Strange fire, burnings and yearnings that are not connected to the old rugged cross, but find their origins from that meeting place of the serpent and Eve, questioning everything, becoming anti-authority, rising up with a spirit of Cain to kill righteousness, and a spirit of Balaam to be driven by greed for the things of this world, and a spirit of Korah to usurp divinely appointed and anointed authority, because this is what it says in Psalm 2:2. They take their counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You would think that some people would cherish a man of God who prays and steps to the pulpit with a directive from God and is not preaching his own prejudice, but is preaching the promises and the principles of the Word of God, and preaching it in the fear of God, preaching it with tears, preaching it with passion. But because they raise their voice just a little bit, because they get red in the face or with passion, they filter through their prayer-inspired lips a righteous indignation that cannot settle for rebellious behavior. You would think that this generation would appreciate men and women of God that come out of prayer rooms and can change an atmosphere and can send the devils packing and on the run and can help them get the clutter of sin out of their lives. And yet, it's the very anointed that the rebellious and the apostate revolutionaries of this generation want to reject. They find their own meeting places. They pick apart and dissect, analyze and reason away truths. And they come up with clever ideas. They come up with scintillating phraseology. They come up with fictional plots that sound just as good as the truth. My friend, it's like the words of that old song written by Andre Crouch many years ago. It says, take me back.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord. Still I hear you calling me. Those simple things that I once knew, their memories are drawing me. I must confess, Lord, I've been blessed. Yet my soul's not satisfied. Renew my faith, restore my joy, dry my weeping eyes. So take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Oh, my friend, don't settle for the meeting places of the unrighteous. Don't settle for the rendezvous of the rebels and those that used to believe the doctrines of an apostolic faith, and yet they've erased the lines, they've taken down the walls, as if walls are a terrible thing. Isaiah said his walls are salvation and his gates are praise. Those walls of the Lord are a protection to us, a security and a safety to us. And so, my friend, today, find that place in prayer. Find that meeting place at an altar. Get back in the presence of the Lord. Seek his face while it may be found. Don't let somebody tell you that it's not necessary to live a disciplined life anymore. How can you be a disciple without discipline? How can you be a follower of Christ if you don't take up your cross? I mean, taking up your cross is not a pretty thing. It's a sacrificial thing. It's a self-denying thing. It's a resolute decision that you're going to walk the straight and narrow path and not be caught up in the Broadway philosophies and the wide path destructive tendencies of a doctrine-hating world. Find that meeting place in prayer. Get that Acts 2:38 experience stirred up in your spirit again. I pray that the Lord will open your eyes and bring a spiritual awakening to you today, that no matter what you've been through and no matter what you face, no matter what adversity or conflict you might be in right now, that the power of God would set you free and that you would find that rendezvous with the Lord. That you would no longer have a fear of failure or fear of yesterday's flaws or deficiencies, knowing that your strength comes from the Lord, and knowing that when you find that meeting place with the Messiah, with his mercy, with his love and grace and tenderness and kindness, that whatever he needs to correct is going to make you better, and whatever he needs to adjust in your life is going to put you in alignment with whatever God has for your promises, in Jesus' name.
This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.